Production of Pipe Dreams is made possible in part by funding provided by Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Foundation, and by the support of listeners to stations in the Public Radio International Network.
From Minnesota Public Radio.
It's all right if I get a little bit nostalgic here, since these marvelous sounds used to belong to me. Well, not quite. But this organ was built for the Auditorium Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota, my hometown. And for 63 years, its pipes lived in a ceiling chamber above the auditorium's stage. The community loved this pipe organ at first, and it was played often. But after World War II, tastes changed. The instrument was increasingly ignored, and it was eventually abandoned and left unplayable. When the Auditorium Theater was torn down in 1984, St. Paul, Minnesota sold off what they considered to be a faded relic. But the people who bought this instrument knew quite differently, and today this same organ enjoys a wonderful new life at Old South Church in Boston, Massachusetts, which is just a bit ironic, since it was in Boston that the organ was originally built back in 1921 by the famous Skinner Organ Company. Organs and Boston have been a pair for quite some time. The first pipe organ came to Boston somewhere before the year 1708. It was a little four-stop portative imported by Thomas Brattle, the treasurer at Harvard University. In this Puritan city, as it was back then, a pipe organ was something of a curiosity. But the idea must have caught on, since Boston has been a center for the very best in American organ building for 250 years. The names of Skinner and Hooke, Hutchings and Aeolian Skinner serve as mileposts along a continuum of musical excellence. It's almost overwhelming to head back into Beantown, because I know that behind dozens, no, hundreds of doors live instruments of renown. And who will ever have time to hear them all? Not even I, though the Organ Historical Society will be showing off some of the best of these at their upcoming convention, August 16th through 23rd. There might be a place for you on the bus. Check their website, organsociety.org, or call 804-353-9226. Or, if your schedule is like mine, take the shortcut, which we offer today. Been back to Boston? Well, we'll show you the way. I'm Michael Barone, and you're tuned to Pipe Dreams. One of the real joys of the Boston organ scene today is an instrument with nearly 140 years of history. It was built in 1863 by the local partnership of brothers Elias and George Hooke, created for the former Church of the Immaculate Conception on Boston's south side. It still stands impressively in its original home, but the church is now called the Jesuit Urban Center. Check out the picture on our website at pipedreams.org. and compare the impressive visual presence of this remarkable instrument with its superbly vital sound. Brian Jones begins our tour of organs in Boston with this Grand Corps Dialogue by Eugène Gigou on the 1863 Hooke organ at Immaculate Conception Church. They may make them differently these days, but certainly not any better than that. We've been listening to the 1863 E&GG Hook pipe organ. Elias and George Hook, the brothers responsible for the creation of that instrument, which was installed at what formerly was known as Immaculate Conception Church on Boston's South Side. It's now the Jesuit Urban Center. But the instrument is the same, and the new administration of the center is actively involved in preserving and restoring this remarkable treasure. Bravo to them. Brian Jones played for us music by Eugene Gigou, beginning our exploration of some historic instruments in Boston on our Pipe Dreams program here. As I mentioned earlier, Boston is the historic heart of organ building in the United States, with activity dating back to the mid-1700s. Three of the most prominent Boston firms, and American firms too, Hook, which later became Hook and Hastings, Skinner, and Aeolian Skinner, set the standards by which all other American building was compared in those days. We find another Hook organ a bit further south from the Jesuit Urban Center, out near the Boston Zoological Gardens in what used to be an area of farms and elegant country estates for the likes of John Hancock or Serge Koussevitzky. It's an area still called Jamaica Plain. Elias Hook lived there in the final 15 years of his life, and three Hook instruments survive in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood, within a few blocks of each other, at the Baptist Church, St. Thomas Aquinas Church, and, where we're about to venture, First Church, Jamaica Plain. This three-manual Hook organ of 31 stops was built in 1854, and it survives virtually unaltered. Thomas Murray recorded on it back in 1973. This is Sonata No. 4 by Felix Mendelssohn at First Church, Jamaica Plain. that we all could sound so vital in our 146th year. We've been listening to an organ that Elias and George Hook built back in 1854 for the First Church of Jamaica Plain, a neighborhood now part of Boston and just south of the heart of downtown. Thomas Murray performed three movements from the Fourth Sonata by Felix Mendelssohn. Talk about perpetual youth and the energy of that sound. Well, the Hook brothers had been in the organ business for more than four decades when, in 1871, and looking to their own retirement, they invited a young fellow named Francis H. Hastings to join their company. He was a former apprentice and apparently had some pretty interesting ideas. The same year that Hastings became a full partner in 1875, the Hook and Hastings Company signed a contract with the largest church in Boston, Holy Cross Cathedral, and for that space built what was, with 70 stops and 101 ranks of pipes, at that time the largest pipe organ in the entire United States. And it's still there. Present-day cathedral organist Leo Abbott plays for us music by George Elbridge Whiting. He was a Massachusetts-born virtuoso who taught at the New England Conservatory and was one of the four soloists who were on the program at this organ's dedication in 1876. Though the instrument's restoration is still in progress, it makes an heroic sound. This is an etude by George Whiting, played by Leo Abbott at Holy Cross Cathedral in Boston. sampling there a slice of history. That was the 1876 Hook and Hastings organ at Boston's Holy Cross Cathedral. It was once the largest pipe organ in all of these United States. And it's still going strong, with Leo Abbott there playing an exciting concert etude by George Elbridge Whiting. Remember, pictures and more information about these instruments can be found on our website, linked to them through pipedreams.org. This is program 2032 in our series. I'm Michael Barone, asking the obvious. Have you been back to Boston lately? Come with us. More just around the corner on this edition of Pipe Dreams. You can sit down now. Boston organist and teacher George Faxon was responsible for that snazzy arrangement of our national anthem, which we heard played by the Old South Brass Organ and Timpani at, well, you guessed it, Old South Church in Boston. Frederick MacArthur played on the Skinner pipe organ, and Roger Voisin conducted. Here's more of the same by George Faxon's wife and life companion, Nancy Plummer Faxon. This is her Fanfare number 2. Again at Old South Church in Boston, music by a Boston composer, Nancy Plummer Faxon, her Fanfare number 2. Organist Frederick MacArthur and the Old South Brass played for us. The present Old South Church on Copley Square, downtown in Boston, dates from 1875. It had, well, as maybe its second or third instrument, a very fine E.M. Skinner organ from the turn of the century, which was removed in the 1960s when tastes for that sort of elegant orchestral sound were replaced by a desire for something a little lighter and more classical. But that newer organ proved itself to be perhaps not sufficiently substantial, and it was removed as part of a 1985 renovation of the Old South Sanctuary. And it was just by a miraculous coincidence that at that very time, another Skinner organ, very much like the original that had been removed from Old South Church, was available and was able to be saved from the wrecking ball here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and relocated to Boston. How could sounds like these have gone unloved in St. Paul? Well, let's listen. Two more pieces by Nancy Plummer Faxon, her arrangement of an adagio from a miniature suite for string quartet, and after it a snappy toccata. Frederick MacArthur plays the Skinner organ relocated to Old South Church in Boston. Now that is what you call bottom end, the weighty 32-foot bombard stop, adding its timpani-like thunder to the finale of Nancy Plummer Faxon's Toccata. Before it, the surging, shimmering Skinner strings, creating an atmosphere of incredible distinction in an adagio movement from a miniature suite, also by Nancy Plummer Faxon, a Boston composer, played in Boston at Old South Church. Frederick MacArthur is featured in this album, which comes from Pro Organo Records. You can find them on the web at Zarex.com. This 1921 Skinner organ of 124 ranks was built in Boston for the Auditorium Theater of St. Paul, Minnesota. It has proved that you can go home again when short-sighted city planners in St. Paul had no use for this instrument in their downtown redevelopment project in the mid-1980s. Old South Church, just by the grace of the fates, was there to snap it up and bring it back to Boston. Nelson Barden and Associates was responsible for getting the organ back in shape, and the sound that it makes, well, you've heard it. It is marvelous. Let's listen to the organ once more, this time in accompaniment to the chorus of the Boston Cecilia. Barbara Bruns is at the Skinner console, and Donald Teeters conducts this performance of the Festival Te Deum by Benjamin Britten.
Thank you.
We praise thee, O Lord. In thee have I trusted. Let me never be confounded. Festival Te Deum by Benjamin Britten, a piece written in 1944 during World War II, and that might perhaps be the reason for its rather demure conclusion, where hope and suspense are mingled. Donald Teeters conducted the Boston Cecilia Chorus, accompanied by Barbara Bruns. She played the 1921 Skinner pipe organ at Old South Church in Boston. That performance recorded during a national convention of the American Guild of Organists, by the way. For that same concert, the Boston chapter of the AGO commissioned then-resident composer Robert Sirota, who was at the time affiliated with Boston University, to create a new work, and we will hear parts of that. The Boston Cecilia performs again. These are the Gloria and the Agnus Dei movements from Robert Sirota's Mass, which he notes is his offering as an attempt at prayer from himself as a work in progress to God.
Thank you.
Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. You've heard two movements, from a setting of the Mass by Robert Sirota, the Gloria and the Agnus Dei, performance by Donald Teeters, and the Boston Cecilia, recorded at Boston's Old South Church as part of a concert given during the National Convention of the American Guild of Organists, which was held in Boston. In 1990, Robert Sirota was commissioned to write this music for that occasion. With pleasing symmetry, Mr. Sirota was also commissioned to create a new work, but for organ and orchestra, for the American Guild of Organists National Convention in Seattle in the year 2000. Robert Sirota has moved on from Boston. He now heads the Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, and his wife Victoria is the national chaplain of the AGO. More information about the American Guild of Organists on the web at agohq.org, or you can link to them from our website, which is pipedreams.org. More to follow here. Been back to Boston? We're taking you there today. I'm Michael Barone, and you are tuned to Pipe Dreams. One of Boston's most memorable and picturesque landmarks is the castle-like presence of Trinity Church on Copley Square. Its mirror image reflects in the shiny facade of the adjacent John Hancock Tower to marvelous effect. It was built in 1877 by Henry Hobson Richardson, and it's the sort of structure which gives vivid description to the term Richardsonian Romanesque, coined because this is a lavish kind of new antique. Well, since the founding of the Trinity Parish back in 1735, many noted musicians have been associated with Trinity Church, John Selby and James Hewitt from the 18th century, Horatio Parker from the 19th, Francis Snow and George Faxon in the 20th, and since 1984, Brian Jones has been leading the Trinity Choir. We heard them there in Patrick Hadley's anthem, My Beloved Spake. Just as virtually every interior surface at Trinity Church is decorated either with carving or mosaic or color, this place also resonates with music in every corner. And the present Aeolian Skinner organ from 1962 is joined to a 1926 E.M. Skinner organ, and that even includes a few stops from earlier turn-of-the-century Roosevelt and Hutchings instruments. Ross Wood puts it all together and accompanies again the Trinity Church Choir in an anthem here by Charles Villiers Stanford, his setting in B-flat of the Te Deum. Brian Jones conducts at Trinity Church, Boston.
Oh,
another setting of the Te Deum text, very different from the Benjamin Britten version, which was sung a little earlier. This was Te Deum in B-flat by Charles Villiers Stanford, late 19th century Englishman, his music performed by the excellent choir of Trinity Church on Copley Square in Boston, where music and building seemed to be in perfect harmony. Ross Wood accompanied on the Skinner and Aeolian Skinner organs, and Brian Jones accompanied. It's from a Gothic Records compact disc. You can find Gothic on the web at gothicrecords.com. We began this Boston organ tour with three instruments by the Hook Brothers from the middle and late 19th century. We then savored some early 20th century work by Ernest M. Skinner at Old South Church, and with Trinity Church here made the connection to the Aeolian Skinner Company, which was an outgrowth of E.M. Skinner's operation. Now we're going to wind up with one of the finest and largest of all Aeolian Skinner installations. With 237 ranks, it was the largest instrument ever made by the famed Aeolian Skinner Company. It was completed in 1952 at what is officially termed the extension of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston. In fact, with 237 ranks and 13,595 pipes, this instrument comes in as the seventh largest pipe organ in all the world. And you are about to hear most of it, beginning very quietly with just a few stops and ending up in, well, full toot, you might call it. A long progression of variations over a very simple singing melody begins this piece. Played in the pedals first, the melody finds its way into the soprano line, and it gives unity to the entire movement. This is the Passacaglia, the finale from an organ symphony in G by American composer Leo Sowerby. Catherine Crozier plays at the Mother Church in Boston. was the Passacaglia, the final movement from an organ symphony by Leo Sowerby. Music which might even give J.S. Bach a bit of a run for his money. Catherine Crozier performed for us, recorded during the 1990 National Convention of the American Guild of Organists, which was held in Boston. We've been listening to the 237-rank Aeolian Skinner organ at the First Church of Christ Scientists, the Mother Church in Boston. Lawrence Phelps designed and installed this organ in the early 1950s for Aeolian Skinner. He planned and oversaw its recent restoration, which was completed just following his death this past year, the instrument remaining as a monument to Lawrence Phelps' tonal ideals. Catherine Crozier, one of America's foremost teachers and recitalists, who is still playing up a storm in her mid-80s, was, I believe, 74 years old when this recording was made. You go, girl. Wow. Catherine Crozier. Well-deserved applause. And so ends our Boston organ tour. Lise Schmidt helped me make some of the concert recordings that you heard today. There's a Delos compact disc of Miss Crozier playing the entire Sowerby Symphony, though on a somewhat smaller Aeolian Skinner organ, in the Groton School in Massachusetts, not too far from Boston. You can find out details about the compact discs and other recordings used in today's program on our website, pipedreams.org. There are interesting pictures to link to as well. If you're not a web browser, we can send you a sample copy of our quarterly brochure and hope that you might want to subscribe to it. Write to Pipe Dreams, number 2032 at 45 East 7th Street in St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Our broadcasts are made possible through the support of Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, the Mayhad Fund of the HRK Foundation, and listener members of Minnesota Public Radio and Public Radio International Network stations all around the country. Pipe up, we'd like to hear from you. Until next time, I'm Michael Barone for Pipe Dreams. Thank you for listening. Pipe Dreams is a production of Minnesota Public Radio.
PRI, Public Radio International.